101.9, Belfast, Maine.
It's Monday and it's 6 o'clock. That means it's time for the Belfast Lions Sports Show. This is Vic at the station. I'm about to pass you over to Coach Goff and his guests. Thanks for tuning in.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Belfast Lions Sports Show. This is your host, Coach Brian Goff. I am the head football coach for your Belfast Lions. This year, as you know, if you've been listening to our show, we're doing a more broad stroke show this year, including all Belfast area sports. And we're going to be bringing on former players, coaches, administrators, anybody directly linked to Belfast area sports. And this week, we're lucky enough to have a former standout athlete and Belfast area high school alum and the current principal for your Belfast Lions, Mr. Jeff Lovejoy, joining the show. Jeff, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on. This is fun.
Absolutely. Let's get right to it. I think everybody knows who Jeff Lovejoy is at this point. You grew up in Belfast. You're a graduate of Belfast Area High School, class of 1992, if I'm not mistaken. After that, you went away to college at Villanova University in the great city of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. At what point did you move back to Belfast, Mr. Lovejoy?
So we started kind of a slow path back up to Belfast in 2000. We moved to Sebago, Maine, and I was teaching at that point at Bonnie Eagle and then at North Yarmouth Academy. So then we just kept coming up the coast. Actually, before that, we took a little stint out on Peaks Island down in Portland. But then we came back in 2008. We bought our property here in Saturday Cove and started teaching at the middle school. So what is that, 12 years?
12 years. Excellent. I had no idea you were at NYA. My best friend actually went to school there, class of 1991. So I know the area and the school well. Great school. So you're back in Maine for a number of years. According to my notes and research, you were the athletic director and assistant principal at Troy Howard Middle School. How long did you hold that post for?
So that was 3 years. I think it was, God, I'm going back to the years here, but so 3 years I held that position. I'm going into my third year at the high school as principal. And just prior to that, I was at Troy Howard. So three years.
3 years you were at Troy Howard Middle School. Excellent. And I would imagine that that job itself kind of prepped you for your current job that you're holding now as principal of Belfast Area High School. Is that safe to say, Mr. Lovejoy?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I was at Troy Howard actually in 2008 when we moved back up to Maine. I was teaching social studies they just started forming the academies at the middle school. So I was fortunate enough to take over from Steve Tangway that had built up the big garden program at the middle school. And I came in as the social studies teacher on the ecology academy, which is really a kind of a spillover from the garden program. So I did that for a number of years until I took the job as assistant principal. So it was a nice way to come back to Maine, come back to Belfast, and then, you know, really kind of see where education was in the county before I came up to the high school.
Excellent. Excellent. That's a cool story. It kind of sounds like mine a little bit. I left for a number of years and, you know, you're always kind of drawn back home. I think one of the best decisions I ever made was moving back to Maine on a full-time basis. And now that I've been back in Maine for 4 years, I'm loving every minute of it. Yeah. Now, being an alum of Belfast Area High School class of 1992, did you ever think to yourself back then when you're roaming the halls as a student at Belfast Area High School that 30 years later you'd come back and be the principal there?
Not for one second. not at all. I mean, I definitely loved my time at Belfast, the high school. really was kind of a sucker for the pageantry and the excitement of athletics. And, you know, I was held a class office and for all four of my years at the school. And but I was so ready to move on. Like most kids, I was like, I'm out of here. You know, I was just itching to get out and see other places. But like you probably, you know, you get out there, you see the world and you realize Belfast is a pretty special place. So I was excited to be able to come back, and even, you know, as a teacher and just contribute to the community was fun. I never in a million years thought that I'd have this opportunity to come to the high school. So I'm definitely enjoying it.
Absolutely. Now, your decision to attend Villanova University in the great city of Philadelphia, was that a slam dunk decision, or were you looking at other schools as well? And Villanova kind of just, once you went through the whole process of determining a school of where you wanted to go, that kind of showed its head as to, you know, being the clear cut decision for you to attend that university.
Yeah, I actually share my story quite a bit with students as they're looking at schools, even with my own kids, my daughter, you know, now being a junior in college. Just that whole process of looking at schools is pretty daunting. And honestly, I don't remember. I mean, it's such a blur going back to high school, but the process was really kind of interesting. I don't remember the fall that much of the senior year, you know, figuring out, you know, where you want to go, putting the letters in, but I definitely had some potential opportunities at Colby. I applied to Colby, UMaine, and then I was also looking at potentially moving on with wrestling, not just with football. So I had Lehigh out there as a long shot. You know, great engineering school. That was my other piece. I was looking at, you know, engineering, potential naval exposure. I applied for the ROTC scholarship. And then football. So I was kind of like parlaying what I could offer, not knowing, being a, you know, a little kid from a small town in Maine, how difficult it is to put yourself out there in the 80s and 90s. So Villanova, I liked it because it had everything. It had engineering. It had, you know, 1AA football program where I could walk on. It had a connection to Team Foxcatcher, which I guess ended up being a little political, but, you know, great eater wrestling program to the Olympics. It was just an interesting place right outside of Philly. And it didn't hurt that when I visited Villanova, it was bright, sunny spring break. It was a pretty nice time to visit the school. Yeah, so I don't regret going to Villanova, but I enjoy that excitement of trying to figure out, you know, do you want to stay local? Do you want to play a sport? Do you want to go right into a degree program? But Villanova just kind of checked all the boxes off for me at that point in my life.
Absolutely. I've got very close friends of mine that live in nearby Cherry Hill, New Jersey. I've been to the city of Philadelphia a number of times in my life. It's a great city. It has a lot to offer. Classmate of mine who I graduated with, Miss Lori Miklovich, was an attendee and graduate of Villanova University as well. I visited her there. Beautiful campus. And as you said earlier, 1AA football, whether it's AA or single A, D1 football is a whole nother animal. I wish all players could at least go through a season or a spring program like I did at the University of Maine, because it really opens up your eyes to the talent level that yeah, is played at that level in our country. And there's a lot to learn from every experience that you could ever go through in terms of sports in general, especially at the 1AA level. Talk about your walk-on experience for Villanova University football team.
I think you explained it accurately. It's definitely a step up and a great opportunity for kids from Maine to go into a Division I experience. You know, I think recently we've had some athletes go on at field hockey, I think is the most recent Division I or 1AA experience. It's eye-opening. I mean, coming from a town where you're playing 2 to 3 sports and either starting or, you know, definitely contributing to jumping up to this level of a Division I atmosphere where it's a specialized environment. So like I said earlier, you know, I threw some football tapes out, you know, I tried to put together the best that I could of my highlights, I guess, of my senior year when I was at Belfast, and, you know, sent those on to Colby, sent those on to Lehigh, and sent it on to Villanova. And, you know, talking with all the schools, it was just kind of an interesting process of, you know, how do you promote yourself? How do you put yourself out there? And Coach Andy Talley at Villanova was like, hey, you know what? I got X amount of scholarship offers that I can put out. He's like, clearly not going to offer you one, which was definitely humbling. You know, like, I don't know what I was thinking, but it was humbling. But he said, you know, you definitely have the opportunity to walk on. You know, we hope to see you this summer. And he was great. He sent a workout program. He sent me the equivalent lifting program they use, getting recruits ready. So he really kind of included me into that, even though I wasn't kind of recruited and catered to that recruitment scholarship, red carpet piece. So after I graduated in the spring, Andy Talley reached out again and said, this is, you know, the walk-on time. You can arrive at campus X, Y, and Z. So I was excited. It definitely kept me in the game. And I went down in the summer and late summer and had that experience, stayed with the team that fall season. It was fun. I met a lot of really great athletes. It was interesting to see the discipline and the work that goes in for some of these kids that came from like Western Pennsylvania and New Jersey, and were recruited heavily by Villanova, and then to compete with them and to play with them in that fall was pretty fun. I think it was, I'm glad I did it. I got support from Belfast as I was pursuing that. But it's just kind of a neat and exciting opportunity for any kid to put themselves out there and, you know, try to go to the next level. I didn't go beyond my freshman year. I got excited about rugby from afar and moved in that direction. But I love the experience I had playing Villanova football.
Absolutely. As you know, once you get to that D1 level, it's a whole other animal. I remember when I walked on for the UMaine Black Bears in the spring of 93, you wake up at 5 or 6 a.m. in the morning. You've got an hour or two of conditioning and weight training. Now you're off to classes. You get out of classes. Now you've got spring practice. Spring practice ends. You're in study halls. By then it's time to go to sleep because you're so darn tired from what you've done all day. You wake up, repeat itself all over again. Weekends, you get a little bit of an opportunity to be a college student. But Monday through Friday, it is straight work, and you really have to be dedicated to your craft if you're going to make it at that level. I think it's very impressive, I might say, that the fact that you even had an invite to walk on to a Division I football program is quite impressive. And the reason I say that to our listeners out there, if you remember Mr. Lovejoy when he was a student at Belfast Area High School, and to younger listeners out there, Mr. Lovejoy was a converted soccer player who started his career as a soccer player as a youth and into his early years as a Belfast Area High School student. And then one day made the decision to try out for football. I believe it was his junior year, might have just been his senior year. You can correct me on that. But what went into that decision to have played one sport all your life? And then the next thing you know, you wake up one day and you say to yourself, I'm a Belfast Lion football player. What went into that decision?
Yeah, I mean, I've always wanted to play football. You know, with connection with John, so Brian, Nick, John and I, my brother John, and I played soccer and football growing up all, all the time from Virginia to when we moved to Maine in 1984. And I think the dominant sport in Virginia was soccer at that time. It was kind of rising in the community level for young kids with soccer. So my brother and I played soccer on the same team, I'd say the majority of the time. And then coming to Maine, same thing, you know, small town Maine is awesome. And I see it right now with my kids being able to do so many youth sports, as opposed to John, my brother, who's down in Atlanta. And kids are specializing at such a young age. But anyways, when we came to Maine, we, like I said, I was playing soccer with my brother, and then we both played a little bit of peewee football, and then we both played middle school soccer. So we kind of kept that connection with soccer going through. In middle school, I did 1 year of soccer, my eighth grade year, but 1 year of football. So I kind of bounced back and forth, but I knew I loved football. But I think at that point, I really enjoyed just playing a sport with my brother. And that was probably the only sport that we'd really have the opportunity to keep playing together, because he went with swimming, I went with wrestling, but we had that shared bond of soccer. So I guess to cut to the chase, my junior year when John moved on to Syracuse, Brian, I was like, all right, you know, John's gone. I've enjoyed soccer, but I want to play football. And some of my friends were had been pushing me to make the leap over. And my junior year is when I switched to football at Belfast and loved it, and continued on my senior year with football. Even though I, you know, love soccer, I still play soccer. I have one son that plays soccer, one that plays football. So I love them both, but so happy that my junior year I put the pads on and played football.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny you said that you were a soccer player back in my early years when I lived in Cumberland, Maine, near North Yarmouth, as you know. I was a Greeley Ranger, and way back then they didn't have a football team back then.
Yeah.
And I wanted to play a sport with my friends. I played soccer fourth, fifth, and sixth grade. Now, my father commuted me to the Portland Pee Wee Football League, where I played, where Dad was once a head football coach for the Chevre Stags. But I was also playing soccer for 3-4 years with the classmates of mine and friends that I made in Cumberland. And quite frankly, the skills that I learned on the soccer field were very transferable to the football field. An endurance standpoint, the cutting, the defense, it was all very relative and quite frankly helped me on the football field. Would you say that your time as a soccer player helped you as a football player as well?
Oh, absolutely. And then, you know, pushing that forward to rugby, which I played at Villanova sophomore year, right through my senior year, and then into two clubs in a men's league after college. Rugby, it was the perfect blend, you know, to bring soccer and football together. You know, all the elements of tackling and contact and positioning from football, and you add that with the stamina and the continuous play in soccer. I thought I had the best of both kind of worlds, you know, coming into rugby. I was kind of made for it. I played football, I played soccer, without having formally trained with rugby, like some of my friends that came up from grammar school and private schools in rugby. I felt like if you could have a football and soccer background, like you're built for rugby.
Absolutely. It's fun to watch on TV as an adult. I'm a big sports fan through and through. I always ask myself, you know, I wonder what it would be like to be part of a rugby scrum when all the players are locked in and the ball's kind of bouncing around. It's kind of shaped like a football. So it does take some very peculiar bounces out there. And, yeah, just as you said, the kicking, the catching, the tackling, the defense. I bet you're a one darn good rugby player. Do you still have any tapes from the Villanova years of you playing rugby?
Sorry, I just kind of cut out there. What was that, Brian?
I said, do you still have any game tapes or any film of you playing rugby back in the day at Villanova?
Yeah, I have. It was our homecoming year, my junior year, that I still have that video from that rugby game. And then mostly, you know, just photographs from it.
Right.
Villanova rugby was club. But we were definitely a powerhouse in the Mid-Atlantic region. We competed really much, pretty much in the New Jersey, Philadelphia, Western Pennsylvania League in the fall. And then come spring, if you know about sevens, which you kind of have had the experience with 7-on-7 in football, sevens rugby is a whole different ball game where teams are traveling all over the country, competing in short 2 or 3 day tournaments. So we have I have a couple of videos from a sevens tournament out on Long Island my junior year, which I just found looking through stuff in the barn. So yeah, a little bit.
That's awesome, man. To hold on to those memories, you know, back then everything was done on VCR tapes. Unfortunately, they don't last too long. So any type of film you have of yourself and, you know, people that are our age, you know, if you have hold of that, hold on to it tightly, get it converted to DVD. These memories never go away. I tell our young athletes today, you're creating some unforgettable memories that'll stay with you the rest of your life. And you're a living example of, you know, being a graduate 30 years later from high school and college. And, you know,
who was the guy that put all those lobster bowl videos on this past summer? That was pretty wild to see that. I mean, I'd never thought I'd see that again.
It's funny you just brought that up because that leads us into our next question. My next question to you. Here you are, a converted soccer player. You played 2 years of organized football, essentially, at the high school level. I would imagine it took place sometime in the winter or spring. Here you are getting a phone call from your coach and or a letter from the Main Shrine Lobster Bowl people and organizers saying that you've been selected to represent the Belfast Lions at the 1992 Shrine Bowl. What was that feeling like when you got the news on that day?
Oh, that was super fun. I mean, you know, the experience, the Lobster Bowl was just a cool showcase of athletes. I wish every sport could do it. You know, it's just, it was awesome. And I had gone to your game, your first Shrine Bowl game. Matt Hunter and I went with his dad. He got tickets to it. So I was actually at the game, the first one that you played in.
Wow.
And it was just kind of a cool, it was awesome experience. And at that point, I was a sophomore. I wasn't playing football. Might have had something to do with me converting that summer to come out my junior year to play football. But the Shrine Bowl, it was really too bad they couldn't have it this summer. Because that whole week was awesome. It just kind of paralleled, you know, a little push for some kids that might not have gone on to play Division I, II, or III football, you know, staying in the dorms, you know, going through learning a new system, meeting new coaches, and then how that they treated you, you know, like a young athlete. It was pretty awesome.
Did they also take you to the Shriners Hospital, Mr. Lovejoy?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that was definitely the, you know, for our 17, I was 17 going on 18, just turned 18, to go to the Shriners Hospital out in, was it Springfield, I believe? In Springfield.
Yes, sir.
And to see that whole process of what the Shriners were able to do for kids was, it's pretty humbling. And the great way the Shrine organization did it is they brought, I don't know if they did it with you, but they brought both the blue and the red, the West and the East together. So that day we're walking through the hospital, you know, hanging out with the other team, which was kind of, it was cool. I think we all really enjoyed, you know, that experience of competing. But did you guys go and work with the West when you went down there? Do you remember that?
Yes, they brought us all in together. You know, we were one team that day. You know, I tell the players now on the football team, you know, make this a goal of yours to make this game. In my entire sports career, college, peewee, junior high school, the week experience that I had at the Shrine game, being selected, going through a week of practice, as you just said, visiting the Shriners Hospital, raising money for all these sick and ailing kids, and then also being able to play a football game against the best talent in the entire state of Maine was literally probably the highlight of my athletic career and probably one of the best weeks of my life. Your thoughts on everything that it did for you as a human being?
Yeah, like I said, that was 20 plus years ago. But, you know, that cliche of you kind of make friends and you keep in touch with people. I still have run into it and kept in touch with a couple teammates from the Shrine experience. You know, you're put in a position with kids that are like-minded like you. They love football. They played hard. They competed. And they're from all levels. You know, at that point, it was what, class A, B, and C. I'm not sure exactly how it's changed over the years. But, you know, the East was this collection of the best class A, the best class B, and C seniors. And it was just really cool to kind of see that talent in one place. And the camaraderie was just awesome. So you said it earlier, you know, being chosen was definitely an exciting and, you know, you feel honored to do it. But I wish every kid, not just in football, like I said, I wish every sport was a similar Lobster Bowl type of experience, because we have so many awesome athletes, and to put them in the same place with like-minded kids at that level, it's a unique experience.
Amen to that, Mr. Lovejoy. And to anybody that's listening to this show right now, you just brought up a great point. To the organizers and people involved with field hockey, soccer, whatever it is, it's never too late to start a game of that nature. All-star games are great. It honors the athletes. They're even better when they're designed to help people that are less fortunate than us. And once all this COVID goes away, perhaps we'll see a Shrine field hockey game, soccer game, and I know they do a basketball game every year, the McDonald's game. I know they used to anyway. But the more all-star games we can have, the better. And again, if it's doing good for other people less fortunate than us, you know, let's get some people on the ball and make these things happen. With that said, we're going to take a quick commercial break. This is WBFY 100.9 Local FM. If you're listening to us online right now, you're doing so at BelfastCommunityRadio.org. We're doing the show every Monday night at 6 p.m. You can listen to us anywhere in the world on that aforementioned website that I just mentioned. And we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to WBFY 100.9 Belfast, Ozzy Osbourne. Support for Belfast Community Radio comes from our listeners and from the Colonial Theater, showing the best of Hollywood, world, and independent films online at colonialtheater.com.
Support for Belfast Community Radio comes from our listeners and from Our Town Belfast, a community-driven and nationally accredited Main Street organization whose mission is to grow and sustain our historic downtown while celebrating our unique cultural heritage. Learn more and visit the calendar of events at ourtownbelfast.org.
Choose a Crown, Monday night, 7 to 9. Tune in and turn on WBFY 100.9 Belfast.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Belfast Lions Sports Show. We're here with the current principal for your Belfast Lions, Mr. Jeff Lovejoy, who happens to be a Belfast area high school alum, class of 1992, and standout athlete. He's so nice to join the show with us. We're having a great conversation. We'll get right back to it. Mr. Lovejoy, I wanted to ask you, in terms of the new gig of being principal at Belfast Area High School, you've held the post for about a year and a half now. I can imagine the challenges and things you have to go to, not only starting a new job, but a job as big as being principal of a high school. talk about the added challenges in year two that you're having to deal with in the world of COVID that we live in today.
Wow. Yeah. So timely question right now, as we have this unfortunate spike in cases in Waldo County. I think the added challenge of being a principal during the COVID pandemic is the same as, you know, being a doctor, being a, you know, working in a restaurant, working in a gas station. I mean, we're all experiencing some type of extra load to your work job, I guess is a easy way to say it. It's another piece that, or another lens you have to look through as you're putting out your program. So luckily, you know, great staff, great community. I feel that we started, a lot of schools probably say it, but I really believe it. I think RSU 71 really put out a great product and allowed the high school, elementary, middle school to each take a look at their program and instruction. And, you know, we didn't just put one package out. The high school did things a little bit differently based on what we could do and where we are. And the elementary, middle school did the same thing. So I'd say I still feel, even though I'm a sixth year administrator, third year as a high school, I still feel like I'm fairly new in the profession and trying to figure things out. So adding the COVID piece, we'll see where that ranks in 10 to 15 years, but there's always an external challenge that comes with, you know, leading a school or leading a business. So I think we're doing okay at the moment. But yeah, it would be nice to not have COVID to deal with on top of everything else, but here we are.
I hear that. You just got to do the best you can. And that goes along with any profession, as you just talked about. you know, tomorrow's a new day. I'm always hopeful that this is going to be behind us sooner rather than later. I know it's affecting everything we do. And I just pray that we can get through this and we can get back to normal, because we got a lot of great things going on at Belfast Area High School, not only in the sports department, but other departments as well. To our listeners out there, not so sure if you heard the news or not, Mr. Lovejoy just touched upon it a little bit. Sports have been put on hold for the next week or so. We've had a case or two crop up here and there. And the information that I got this afternoon was more or less, let's be safe rather than sorry, and kind of hit the pause button a little bit. Take us through the decision-making process. Who was in the room with you today, Mr. Lovejoy, and when you came to the conclusion that it was the best thing to do by putting our sports programs on hold till maybe Monday at the earliest?
Yeah, so definitely, you know, Matt Batande, the new athletic director, and myself have been talking, you know, since last week with Colden Galan, the assistant principal, and then really throughout Thursday till today, different conversations with Mary Alice McLean, superintendent, other admin. The decision to go, or as you said, to put a pause on sports, really came from where the community levels of COVID were in Waldo County, being, you know, pretty high pretty quickly. And then some of our schools asking staff and students to quarantine, just, you know, it made sense for us to put the brakes on for extracurricular activities. Luckily, the high school is able to operate in our hybrid model, which we have been since September. But we thought it pretty responsible to not cancel fall sports, because I don't think that would be helpful or wise, but really just put the brakes on, reconvene Friday, set the course for next week. Ultimately, you know, optimistic that we'll be able to finish the season for the kids, but also, you know, definitely clearly realizing that We don't need to put the community, really outside communities coming to play us. We don't need to put them at risk. We don't need to put our kids at risk. So smart thing to do. Today it was a conversation with myself, Mr. Galan and Mr. Bertani, with other conversations with the superintendent. We said, this is a smart thing to do. Let's take a week and we'll go week to week.
Amen to that. We're hopeful that we can get back to business on Monday, but we got to do the smart thing. I count our blessings that this happened later rather than sooner. To our listeners out there, we started a workout program on July 6th and have had our athletes at least 4 days a week since then. We've gotten some great work in. It's good to see some of the other programs doing really well. Football's having a very solid, if not very good, fall season. I'm very happy about where the guys are at in their development. We've won some 7-on-7 games. To the best of my knowledge, the field hockey team hasn't lost. Soccer had a big win last week. We had a number of guys qualify on the golf team. So there's a lot of good things going on right now. I'm going to get some other coaches on here in the future. We're going to talk more specifically about their sports. Before we jump into some more sports questions, Mr. Lovejoy, I'd like to just ask you a couple of questions in terms of the the principal piece. You've been back as principal at Belfast Area High School for about a year and a half. You look around the school, some things change, some things remain the same. Here it is 30 years ago. You're a student at Belfast Area High School sitting in Mrs. Layton's geometry class. Now, 30 years later, you look around, she's still there, and you're essentially her boss. What is that like? It's just a really peculiar situation, if you ask me, and I'd like to get your thoughts.
Pretty wild to be, like you said earlier, like ever thought I would be back as principal. You know, heck no, no way. As a student, and even, you know, just, putting myself in that perspective of what you know, a principal, you know, exudes for the community. I would never have imagined that. So you mentioned Miss Layton. I love Diana Layton, you know, such a great woman. And, you know, she's given so much to Belfast, you know, over her teaching career. It was pretty awesome to come back. And not just with Diana, but Tim Doran. He was a Latin teacher at the high school. And, he was there when I first started out. And the, who else was still in the high school? Mary Salvatore. She wasn't teaching at the time, but she's now since come back as an employee at the high school. So I'll take you to my first staff meeting, Brian. I'm sitting in the library, and in front of me is Tim Doran, Diana Layton, Mary Salvatore. And I start, you know, doing my thing, and I kind of laugh, and I look down, and I'm like, I said, is this weird for you guys? And I still had a hard time calling Miss Layton Diana.
Right.
You know, and she didn't miss a beat. She just said to me, she's like, no, Jeff. She's like, we think it's awesome. You're doing a great job. We're so proud that one of our students is in this role. So it was hilarious, but it was awesome to get that validation from a past teacher.
Absolutely. And you just mentioned a few other names. You know, when I came back to be the coach a couple years ago with you and then AD Terry Kinnison offered me the gig. You look around the school, there's Coach Ross, there's Coach Richards, there's Mr. Boynton. It almost felt like I was a student all over again. So it's great to have that nostalgia. It's great to have people that have been part of the school for that period of time, given so much, as you just mentioned. And you come back home to Belfast. Not only does the town of Belfast still feel like home, but when you come back to school and work at the school where you were once a student, you see all those familiar faces. It's a really, really, really cool thing. And I kind of have my own story back when we went to school together. Here I am, the upperclassman as a junior senior, as you're the incoming freshman and sophomore. Now, 30 years later, as you being the principal, me being the coach and substitute teacher, it kind of feels like I'm the underclassman now, but it's all good either way. And yeah, it's been great being back, and I'm having a blast doing it. Let's jump back into the sports piece. Three kids you have with your wife, Mrs. Peterson, very lovely lady, very nice woman as well. Young Olivia has already graduated, came through the system. Was it Husson now at UMaine? Is that correct?
Right. She went her freshman year to Husson and then transferred to UMaine.
Right. Now, she was a very good athlete in her own right here at Belfast. When I first came back, it was in the spring. Mm-hmm. I was checking out baseball and softball games. There was your daughter as a standout softball player. What other sports did she participate in while she was here at Belfast?
So Olivia, I guess the sport she played, surprise, surprise, is soccer. We started that together. I was coaching her on Pete's Island. So she played soccer here all 4 years, was captain, played varsity all four. Softball also, she was a late convert. She came to softball in eighth grade. She did track for a long, time in youth and then middle school. And then her eighth grade year, her and a bunch of friends went to softball and she never looked back. And she started at second base her freshman, sophomore, junior, senior year at Belfast. So she really, I think she, even though I think she was a born natural soccer player, she enjoyed softball and excelled at it. Made all KVAC her senior year. Was supposed to play in I guess an equivalent Lobster Bowl senior game, but I got postponed for weather that summer. And then she also started her junior year, the cheerleading group, which is now kind of come back around. They had a time period where there wasn't cheering at Belfast. So a group of friends got together her junior year and they brought that back. So she was part of that kind of second inaugural cheering crew coming in. But I'd say her strongest sports were definitely soccer and then softball.
Kudos to her for being part of that group that brought cheering back to Belfast. I'm a proponent of having a cheering team. We go to some of these schools like John Babst, and I was at a basketball game watching my niece perform. She's a student at MDI. They were playing Ellsworth. Ellsworth has a great cheering team. It adds to the entertainment value, if you will, to the game, gets the players fired up. And I hope that our program can continue to grow. And just last year, I saw drastic improvement from the cheering team. I saw a performance early on in the basketball season and also saw them perform late in the basketball season. Right. And it seemed like I was watching two different teams out there. So, kudos. Yeah,
hopefully, hopefully get them back into the fall. I mean, when you and I were in school, we had cheering in the fall and winter. So currently we're still just kind of holding in the winter season, and that's when competition cheering happens anyways. But I would like to see potentially if the interest stays, bringing it back into the fall.
Absolutely. I'm right there with you, my friend. Let's talk about your boys. Two boys at Belfast Area High School right now. Junior Jonah is the star of the soccer team, leading scorer the last couple of years, having a great season this year. The games that I've seen, and Coach Howard Fogg confirmed that with our interview last week. Being a former soccer player yourself, what's it like seeing young Jonah out there on the soccer field?
It's great. I really enjoy watching Jonah play soccer and wrestle. You've seen him. He's a great athlete. He competes hard and he, puts the work in. And I talk to PD about that and talk to other kids. You put the work in outside of the game and you see the results. So I'm really proud of Jonah for committing to sports, the two that he's passionate about and putting that extra work in. And it was not by coincidence. I guess it was by coincidence. Sorry, I correct that. It was just opportunity that I came to the high school and Jonah came as a freshman. And the joke is that I'm going to follow him outside. I'm not. I'm staying at Belfast High School. I got to watch my boys and watch Jonah in middle school, and then you know coming to the high school, get to see him. It's pretty awesome, you know, opportunity. But I told Jonah, I swear, I promise, I will try to seek employment at your next level.
Hey, enjoy these moments while you can. They go too quick. You know, the older you get, the faster time goes by. The fact that we're having this conversation 30 years after we were students at Belfast Area High School just doesn't seem like reality. Sometimes feels like I've gone on a, you know, aborted a time machine and went into the future. So, you know, that's what you don't realize when you're a kid. You know, you're in junior high and high school, and you can't wait to graduate. You can't wait to do this. And you can't wait to do that. Hit the brakes, student athletes out there. Enjoy this time. You only get to come through junior high and high school once in your life. Cherish each and every moment and enjoy sports. Play all sports. Play as many as you can, because one day you're going to look back and you're going to wish that you had if you aren't right now. So I just want to say to any of our young listeners out there, play a sport. You'll create friends, you'll create memories. And if you've listened to this conversation between Mr. Lovejoy and I, we're living proof of just that. Moving on to Jonah as a wrestler, Coach Logan Walsh and Rick Kelly do an outstanding job with the wrestling program. Does Dad ever give young Jonah some pointers on what to do on the mat as well?
Yeah, I think Jonah definitely took a step up to his wrestling caliber coming to Belfast High School. Logan and Rick, great mentors, you know, able to motivate Jonah, prepare him. I mean, wrestling's such a peak sport where you have to peak at the right time. And, you know, his freshman year, he was right in the thick of things, qualified for states, went two and out. Nothing to hang his head on. Great matches was in the last match right up until the last, you know, 20 seconds. And then last year, same thing, like all season, you ask anyone around the state, you know, that top four was going to be kind of a coin toss. So it was fun to watch him compete. And, you know, he did really well. You know, ended up fourth in the state at 145. And I think a lot of that I could, you know, definitely hang on Logan for getting Jonah prepared, and for Rick, you know, knowing when Jonah was ready to get challenged at upper weight or keep him at 145. You know, Rick was, I think, pretty instrumental in pushing Jonah to wrestle other athletes, maybe outside his weight class, that helped him. And then Logan just had him ready for tournament season. So yeah, I feel pretty fortunate we have that caliber of coaching staff in the wrestling program right now.
Absolutely. To have both those men coach with me in the last 2 years here on the football side, I know exactly what you're referring to and talking about. Is the plan to keep Jonah at 145, bring him up, bring him down in weight? What's the plan with Jonah moving forward?
Jonah made a decision, you know, last year. He went vegetarian going into the wrestling season, really wanted to get lean and, you know, be at that kind of peak weight class for himself. And I think now going through that after, you know, X amount of years, 6 years wrestling competitively, he just wants to get stronger, doesn't want to worry about cutting weight. So he's just, I'm going to naturally land where I land, and that's where I'm going. So right now he's bumped up to 160. I think if we did have a season, he would comfortably be able to go 160 and be pretty strong there. So, you know, could the 52 kids his size would think about it, but I think Jonah's just looking to avoiding that issue with weight class. And if we did have a season or going into next year, I think he's just going to land where he is and feel pretty strong and healthy at it.
No doubt. I pray and hope, like all our sports, this COVID goes away and we can see these guys compete, because I know, talking to Coach Logan, that they got a number of wrestlers coming back who placed last year in the States, your son being one of them. And I believe they took top three in the States last year. Yep. I know,
I think it was tied for top three for third place in the state. You know, one KVAC, one regional. It was an exciting, and is an exciting time for wrestling. So, you know, like all sports, though, you know, well, you know, kids are awesome about it, though. You talk to the, you know, I feel like for us who are looking back on, you know, time spent in high school and really trying to provide the opportunity, we sometimes take it more serious than the kids, and the kids are bummed about it, but they've got a great perspective on it. You know, it's not defining them. They're like, you know, we'd love to compete, and that's what they want to do. We want to compete. If we can, great. If it's not a championship, like you saw it this year in football, like they don't care if there's like a, you know, I'm sure they would love to have a competition for a state championship, but they're like, we don't care. We just want to go out and compete against other people. And end of the day, it's pretty cool that kids just want to do that.
Absolutely. You see the competitive nature come out in 7-on-7. I said it with my interview with Coach R. Fairbrother. We went down and won a 7-on-7 football game at Oceanside, and the bus ride back felt like we'd won a real football game. The guys were singing, dancing, laughing, joking around, just celebrating. There were great conversations going on at the front of the bus. And yeah, you get that competitive nature no matter what it is. And yeah, we'd all like to have real sports right now, but very thankful that what we do have is there for our student athletes to compete and get better. Winding down the show, I want to talk about Petey real quick, your youngest. He's doing an outstanding job in football. What I like about Petey is last year I went down to the Troy Howard Middle School as a substitute teacher. Quite frankly, the main reason I was down there, Mr. Lovejoy, was to get to know the incoming freshmen. As football players, wanted to start to build a relationship with them, get guys fired up about playing, let them get to know me, let me get to know them. Lots of those young athletes started to come up after school in between sports. They'd take the bus and get dropped off at the high school. 10 or 12 of them consistently came up and worked out with me in the weight room. Petey was first in line. Petey was coming in the morning as well. I think back to when I saw Petey as a Troy Howard Middle School football player, what he looked like then and what he looks like today. It's like two different human beings. He's really gotten himself into great shape. He is strong. He's gotten bigger. I think he's about 165 pounds right now, 5'10", 5'11". That's bigger than I was as a senior.
Yeah.
So the sky's the limit for this guy. I can play him at any position, skill position, kind of like Tanner Vayhew right now. I keep telling the guys, the more you can do in a football field, the more you can help the team. It's a great problem to have, knowing that young Petey can play about 7 or 8 different positions for us. Talk about Petey as a football player.
Yeah, I mean, you're seeing it now, and you saw it last spring, Pete. He just got the bug quick, and, you know, he's dabbled in wrestling. He can hold his own. He was, you know, 4 years ago, 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, he was New England champ runner-up in wrestling in his weight class. You know, he went down to Youth New England and just tore it up. And, you know, he's played baseball. He's a great catcher. But he ran track a little bit in sixth grade, played basketball the last couple of years. I mean, he's kind of tried a bunch of sports, but he just loves football, loves it. And I think that's a bond we have, which is pretty awesome. But he, you know, last year he just made a commitment. He's like, I want to play football and I want to do really well. And I want to play as a freshman, as a sophomore, as a junior, I just want to compete. And this summer, you know, he's walking around the football. I think he saw him at the Lobster Pound where he worked. And a couple times he'd walk in with a football. I'm like, it was pretty funny, but it was kind of awesome to see that he just you know, loved it, breathed it, wanted to just get better. And maybe he thought holding the football just would through osmosis help him out. But the kid has great hands. I'll give him that. Like, we play toss in the backyard, and he just, you know, loves to catch the football. And he is still trying to find himself in terms of, like, what position. You know, he thought he was a defensive end, you know. And then I'm like, well, you know, you're pretty solid as a safety. You played safety. You know, he's kind of all over the place. When he was in fourth and fifth grade, when I coached him with Kenny, you know, with the Chiefs, we put him down as a nose guard. And he was an animal. You know, he just blasted through as a nose guard. So I think that's a great attribute to have. And I tell PD that, just play everything. If coach puts you as a punter, just go, you know, nail it as a punter. I don't care what you're playing. Just compete.
Absolutely. And I know once we get to winter sports, you know, being named the head JV basketball coach, I know I'm going to be holding on to Petey's left arm. And I think Coach Logan Walsh is going to be holding on to his right arm. And we're going to be having a little bit of a tug of war to see if he's going to play basketball or be a wrestler this year. So we'll have to keep an eye on that. But he's doing a great job on the football team. Very proud of Petey. If we were to strap it up for real right now, he'd be getting reps and would probably find a starting position for him at the varsity level. Very impressive to do as a freshman. I know when I was a freshman, I didn't belong anywhere near a varsity football field. Quite frankly, I wasn't even ready as a sophomore. So that shows you how developed and how far advanced he is at the age that he is. And I can't wait to watch his career unfold. Couple more questions and we'll let you go. Mr. Lovejoy, you got three kids, all very, very, very good athletes. Where did this athletic ability come from? Did it come from you? Did it come from mom? Did it come from a combination of the two of you?
Yeah, of course, I think it all comes from, I'm just kidding. I think a combination. I mean, Joanna is pretty humble, but she was a state champion caliber field hockey player down at South Portland. She was a couple of years behind me, but she was part of that Red Riot field hockey powerhouse back in the 90s. Her dad played football for Harvard. He was a standout athlete at Worcester Academy. Played 4 years at Harvard as a football player. He's a lineman. And then box a little bit. So I think, you know, definitely, you know, we have that on both sides. My dad had played a little bit of football in high school and college, but I think it's a blend. You know, I think you ask Joanna, she'll say it's from her side. You ask me, I'm going to say it's a Lovejoy thing. I mean, we got to battle.
I love it. Competition, even amongst the parents, you got to love it. Last one for me, Mr. Lovejoy. Obviously, you're the principal of Belfast Area High School. You're looking, overseeing all departments, including the sports department. What are your overall thoughts on the sports programs as a whole? And what are your goals moving forward as long as you're the principal of Belfast Area High School?
Great question. I think short term, we want to provide opportunities for kids. So in potential unknown COVID time period, you know, Matt Batani was a great find to bring on, and he's been working pretty diligently to bring in ideas for intramural activities, you know, reinvigorate the skiing opportunities we had when we were in school going down to the snowball. I just took a little paddle on the Goose River Sunday. So looking at, you know, some canoeing opportunities for kids just to get out and be active. In terms of the varsity piece, I just want us to be competitive. You know, end of the day, I want every season kids to show up feeling they can compete and not just, you know, make a varsity team, but really compete for something. So that's been my goal since I came back in 2008. I coached myself at the youth level, coach at the middle school level. I think we've talked about it. It's a K-12 problem and solution that I feel like we're poised to start making some headway on that Belfast Athletics were going to be competitive. You know, we might not win every season, but we want to be chomping at the bit in every sport.
Absolutely. That's, in my opinion, that's what makes a great school: participation, competitive program.